Welcome to the Riverside Church podcast. We hope today's message encourages you and strengthens your walk with God. Enjoy the message.
So we are talking about our semester right now is the rewards of righteousness. And Pastor Bobby preached a little bit about being restored like an older vehicle and how not only is it restored to its original peace, but always new and improved. So I want to speak on that a little bit tonight concerning the clay and the potter. And I don't want to hit this and knock that off. Okay. So if you wouldn't mind standing to your feet for the reading of our opening scripture here. We are going straight. Now, if you look in the Bible, the representation of us being clay is probably in almost every single book of the Bible. When you do a cross-reference, I could have picked from anywhere and seen how God has used this to show us what he's working out in his kingdom. But we're going to go straight to the source in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. It says, the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah, and he said, go down to the potter's house, and I will speak to you there. So I did as he told me. This is the words of Jeremiah. And he found the potter working at the wheel, but the jar that he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Then the Lord gave this message. O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to the clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, you are also in my hand. If I announce that a certain nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, but that nation renounces its evil ways, I will not destroy it as I had planned. And if I announce that I will plant and build up a certain nation or kingdom, but that nation turns to evil and refuses to obey me, I will not bless it as I said I would. Therefore, Jeremiah, go and warn all of Judah and Jerusalem. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. I am planning disaster for you instead of good. So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and do what is right. This echoes a scripture that I used last time. And when God told Cain, he goes, if you will be accepted if you just do what is right. Righteousness is the key to better living. This passage here, if you read through the book of Jeremiah, over and over again, God pleaded with Israel different ways through different people for them to change their ways and to look what God had for them. It was a final call for righteousness, a final plea for his chosen people to accept God's salvation and live in a way that their life pleases God instead of opposing him. A life that can be blessed and honored and not a life that he is forced to judge. And as I read that first chapter, I just look around, and every time era has their situations and every day is closer to Jesus coming back, but you can't help but look around and seeing the echoing story of pleading with God's people and pleading with those who want to know God to get on board, to show that righteousness, to do what God has for you, and he will remold them into something fantastic. Pray with me as we enter in. Father God, thank you so much for never giving up on us. You could have smashed the clay and left it alone. You could have thrown it by the wayside, God, but you said if we are willing, you're willing to remold us, to restore us, not only to our beginning plan, God, you had for us, but even better, to strengthen us for the new trials ahead, Father God. We thank you so much for your love and your patience and your endurance, Lord. Please, God, Father God, open our eyes to see the concept of the clay and the potter so we know, Lord, that you are always in control and we have nothing to fear. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Today we're going to go over a three-step process that a potter and clay go through that produces a beautiful and useful vessel. Many times tonight we'll refer to our imagery here. We have actual clay ready to be molded and a finished product that we'll continue to go to. Now at the end of these three steps, you'll be able to go home and maybe make your own pottery, but there's no promises. And most likely you probably won't. But even though you're not going to be able to make your own pottery, you will be able to make your own vessel, but you will know how to be molded. And our title tonight is Molded. So instead of points, I've got the three-step process here. And step one is the potter calls the clay. Back to Jeremiah. We're going chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Lord gave Jeremiah this message. He says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That scripture has so much meaning that we fully will never understand exactly what God means. But time and time through history and through the stories, it shows us that God knew us. It's like he walked through us from beginning to end. He stands outside of time, something our time-bound minds could never understand. He says, I've already seen the process. I've already seen who you are, who you meant to be. I'm here just to make sure you go along the path. And here Jeremiah responds with, oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. And there's the first excuse. Now, every good prophet or messenger always had a good excuse, and it's not without reason. The Most High God comes and gives you a task, and you immediately feel unworthy. And it's probably a good trait. It's maybe that's why God called these men and women, because they weren't ready. They thought they weren't ready because they knew, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to depend on God to be able to accomplish this. It reminds me of Moses, when God came to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to free the people. Speak for me. He goes, not me. Send someone else. I can't speak very well. So God even sympathized with him and gave him someone else to help. Okay? And then Peter was called by Jesus. And his first thing was like, I'm a sinful man. Just depart from me. Stay away from me. You don't know who I am. Jesus says, I do know who you are. And that's why I'm calling. So time and time again, I know Pastor Caleb says all the time that God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. Now, God didn't have as much mercy, I guess, with the other two as Jeremiah. And he sternly said, don't say I'm too young. You must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. For I am the Lord and I have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched the mouth of Jeremiah and realized Jeremiah was young, even younger before he was a priest. His whole family was a family order for the priesthood. And so we believe that he was about in his 20s, maybe even younger, hearing this message from God. And he says, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. That is a very big command coming to someone who's in their early 20s. And we can remember any of us in our early 20s, were we ready for that kind of a command to tear down nations or bring up others? I know I wasn't. I know I'm probably still not at this point, looking at everything Jeremiah did. But God calls all of us at different degrees. And there's different calls on our lives. We've got a universal call that is to submit to God and to be restored to our former dominion over earth, to have children and multiply and move on the Garden of Eden and show the peace of God to everyone. And since the original one failed, we now accept the name of Jesus and tell everyone and spread the peace. That's our universal calling. But we also have our time era we're in, are our local circumstance and our personal calls. So sometimes we get confused and we might say, well, I need to know exactly what God wants me to do for me. But the thing is, the different calls are kind of like our legal system. We have a federal law, state law, and our city. And if you can't follow the federal law, don't need to worry about state or city ordinances. You're already out, okay? If you don't understand the law of the land, of the kingdom, then you're not in the kingdom. But if you get the kingdom call, the universal call, then it goes down to a time era. At such a time as this, what is going on around you? Why were you placed in this moment? What is your family around you that you were placed into? Your job you're in front of, your city that you live in. Some of these things were not our choices. We're just here. And why is that? If God is molding us and always in control, then he has a certain part for us where we're at, depending on our time. And then we have a local call to gather in our local church, to gather with other believers and be living stones for a temple that God's Spirit can move through. Because we know the Spirit lives in us and can move through us all day long. But God works through his people to help and serve one another. And the Bible tells us many times to take care of other kingdom citizens first. And then we outreach to the rest of the world. And then there's your personal call. The thing that God wants you to do. Now, God didn't call everybody to uproot and to tear down. He asked Jeremiah to do that. So there's certain scriptures that apply to Jeremiah, but there are other scriptures and commands that apply to all of us. So when it comes to the clay, okay, I have a couple of pictures that give you a little representation of what the potter has to go through when dealing with clay. So our first one looks like this, okay? It's clay, it's bitter, it looks pretty rough. And that's even after you've added water to it and you start to knead it. Because when you pull it out of the ground, it's dead in the ground. That clay has no use but to be foundation. And that's us before Jesus. That's us. We're dead in the ground, we are dead in our sin, and we're not alive in Christ at all. And so he pulls up us out of the ground and begins to knead us. Now, to get the clay to this point, you still have to knead water into it. And you'll see, just like with planting seed or anything else, you notice that God always used living water to be able to make something come alive. Clay is no different. It's dry, it's brittle, it's really good for nothing unless there's moisture in it. So when you knead the clay, you have to push and pull and grind and put water into it and fold it. And it looks like this, cracked and clay-like. And you have to consistently knead water into it. You also have to clean it. There's stuff in there that shouldn't be. Can you imagine trying to make a pot with a twig sticking out or a root or, you know, different rocks and pebbles in it? It's not going to look nice. It's not going to be good. So God has to remove stuff from us, move from the clay to get us smooth and pliable. Now, after kneading it and putting the water in and cleaning it, you have to consistently add a little water at a time. And we'll get more into that here in a little bit. So our first step was, we'll show you a couple more pictures I got on here. So after you knead the clay and you get it moist, then you start to put it on the potter's wheel, which kind of looked like this in old times. There was a couple of options. You see a vessel starting to be formed. Now, if you've never seen a potter's wheel, especially back in the day, it was a disc on top, disc on bottom. They would move their foot, and as they moved it, they would form this clay. And always adding water, otherwise you would get nowhere. So you see this starting to form and starting to get taller. And it's a messy job. It's work for the potter to get the clay on how he wants to do it. So he has to be doing it for a reason. More than just fun and enjoyment, he has a vessel that he wants to build. Something that has a purpose that he's going to need. Because back then, you didn't have time just to have fun and do extra activities. What you did was for your livelihood. What you did was something you needed. So for a potter to be building this, someone was going to use this for something valuable, holding water, holding wine, holding ointments, different vessels for different things. And so the potter has that in mind, and from the heart of the potter comes out the vessel that is needed. But for the potter calls the clay out and starts to work with it, our step two is the clay has to submit to the potter. Now that sounds funny because obviously the clay can't do anything, okay? But many times God has called us clay and himself the potter. And we'll go, and Isaiah echoes this many, many times in different ways. But then Paul reiterates it again in Romans. And in Romans chapter 9, verses 20, it has a kind of a response over an argument that Paul is trying to resolve. But he says, "Who are you, a mere human being, to argue with God? Should the thing that was created say to the one who did the creating, 'Why have you made me like this?' And the potter makes jars out of clay. Doesn't he have the right to use the same lump to make one jar for decoration and another one to throw garbage into?" God sees the bigger picture. The other scripture says that, another translation says, doesn't the potter have the right to make something honorable and something for dishonorable things, for clean things and unclean things? Because everything is needed. Now, you might see a garbage bin, like, okay, God's going to make me a garbage bin? Like, why is that? Garbage bins are needed to keep trash out of everywhere else. So we might think at a time we're a lower statue, but that might be exactly what is needed at that time. Other times, people will make you to have, God will make you to be able to do different things of higher honor, but he will work you through those processes depending on what vessel he needs at the time. It also depends on, there's different kinds of clays. This is nice clay you buy at the store, okay? This has been, you know, this has been refined and made easy for anyone to make whatever they want to. But that wasn't always the case. Some clays were not quite ready for a final product just yet. So they had to be submitted to the potter's hand. They had to introduce the water and see how it reacted. And just like the scripture says here, the potter didn't like what he saw out of the pottery, so he smashed it and he started over. And God said, just like that, you are in my hand. I don't like what I'm seeing, Israel, right now. But if you just let me work what I need to work, let me do what I need to do, then I can smash you down and remake you into something that I need you to be. The words of Isaiah always remind me that, you know, that the songs we're singing today, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. The clay doesn't know why it's being made, but God knows exactly what he's doing for each and every person. And he always promises to do good for all those who love him. So we go back to Jeremiah. It says, the Lord gave Jeremiah another message. Now through this, let's see, if I want to, okay. I don't want to jump ahead of myself because I start getting excited about the clay and I want to make sure I get with Jeremiah. I don't want you to forget what Jeremiah is doing. So Jeremiah 7, 1 through 5. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go to the entrance of the Lord's temple and give this message to the people. O Judah, listen to this message from the Lord. Listen to it, all who worship here. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Now we'll stop right there. This was a message that God gave Jeremiah to talk to the people who were not just trying to be converted into God's love, but they were already worshiping God at his own temple. These are people that were doing, basically living a dual life. They would worship other gods. They would do what they wanted to, but they would still show up to the temple because they know that's what was right. So they showed up anyway, tried to offer sacrifices and do what was holy by God. And then once they were done, like, okay, that's done. Got God taken care of. Let me go take care of the other gods. And he sent Jeremiah to that place to talk to them. Now, not only were they worshiping there, but they did it consistently. This is the way they lived. Consistently. And they were okay with it. And one call to us is we don't want to get lost in complacency. We know what is right with our mind, but we have to renew our mind or renew our heart to fully understand what God wants from us. It's super easy to fall into complacency. All right, I got to go to church on Sunday. Okay, I've taken care of God. Now Monday, back to work. I got stuff to do. I took care of my spiritual life. That's good to go. But God doesn't want you to turn on and off. He wants to be involved with your work life. Because there's people in your work, believe it or not, that God loves and God wants to save. There are customers in your line of work somewhere that you're going to see one time in your life, And it's possible God put you there for an exact reason to call them and reach them. So wherever you're working, that's why the Bible says, work as if you're working for the Lord, because you are working for the Lord. He gave you that job. He provided you with a ways to make a living for yourself and your family. But at the same time, his kingdom's working. His kingdom's working. It's not an on and off thing. We have to get to seeking God's righteousness in every breath we take and every step we do. But remember, there's different processes of the clay that we're going to get into. You don't become, you just snap your fingers and become a vessel. Okay, there becomes a process of kneading and cleaning that everyone is going to be a part of. Now, continue back with our scriptures. The word that he gave to the people who were worshiping at the temple. It says, even now, if you quit your evil ways, I will let you stay in your own land. He's pleading with them. Just, I know you did horrible things. Just stop right now and I'll reverse. But don't be fooled by those who promise you are safe simply because the Lord's temple is there. And they chant, the temple is here, the temple is here, but I will be merciful only to those who stop your evil thoughts and deeds and start treating others with justice. Claiming the name of Jesus once a week, or claiming the name of Jesus and not applying it to every part of your life, leads you to not seeing through God's eyes in every situation you have. Because Lord knows that I, for years, would get complacent, focus on the work, focus on, okay, I got to do this for the church, I got to clean up, I got to do this. And over the years, I lose sight. I mean, I know why I'm there. I know what I'm doing, but I'm not saying, okay, God, what are we doing today in the service? I'm thinking, okay, service got to go smooth, I got to do this, kids have to get candy, these guys got to get checked in, and then you don't realize what child is hurting today that you need to pray for. What child might have lost a grandparent over the weekend that you have no idea? Take time on where you're at, because God is always moving and always working. At any moment, we are to be ready to be used at any moment in time. And if you claim Jesus, the key thing that I've been teaching my kids, I give them memory verses, try to once a month, just hit one verse, hit a couple of verses together, memorize it. And John 13:35 is going to be their new one this month. It says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. It's not the Riverside bumper sticker on the back of your car. It's not the awesome t-shirts with the, I think, I've seen mustard ones, the ketchup ones, I think, are wearing a Jesus, whatever. And I love them. They're fantastic. But is the person wearing the shirt doing the work? Okay? And you have to know that everyone around you, you can look around you right now, not only people like, be nice to everybody, they're children of God. Okay? But with a more respectful view, the people around you hold the image of God. They are all image bearers. So when God says, not only do what is right, at the end of this message, he goes, treat each other with justice. Because we are all ambassadors and representing God in every day of our lives. And when you look at someone, not only are they a child of God, we hear a lot, but they are an image bearer, a bearer of the Most High God. God not only created you, but made you for a purpose, and disrespecting or not loving one of those other people is not respecting God's, ambassador, okay? The ambassador God sent to earth, the Holy Spirit-filled person, we want to make sure that everyone feels that love to be able to see the love of Jesus as much as you can. So step three, so we never the one, potter calls the clay, okay? He has to start the work. Step two is the clay has to submit to the potter. And step three is the potter forms the vessel. Now, Jeremiah 18:3-6 said, so I did as he was told. I'm sorry, I'm botching that. So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel. Going back to our main scripture, but the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Then the Lord gave me this message, and he continues on. The clay is only useful if the potter deems it fit to be cured as a vessel. So even though a potter is working on something, everything he works on doesn't always come full circle. He'll make it a certain amount. He'll see that it's not needed anymore. And he goes, no, it's not something I like, and he'll reverse. Or maybe the clay's got a flaw in it that he doesn't like. Now, I was in art class back in sixth grade, and we had to make clay items. And the biggest thing they said is you've got to knead the clay as much as you can to get all the air out. Any air or cracks or infirmities, once it reaches the fire, it's going to blow up. Okay? I obviously didn't take that seriously because mine blew up in the oven. They had a wire, and we had to knead it and flatten it and cut it constantly, overwork it. Like, okay, mine looks good. I'm ready to go. Boom. I didn't get my project back after that. Okay? So the vessel that is crafted has to be crafted carefully because not only does it have to withstand the fire it's about to go into, but it also has to hold up for the reason that it was made. So if this pot here was supposed to be holding water, if it has a huge crack or it wasn't even and water was pouring out, then it's not fit for service, especially if it's in service for the king, which we all know that each one of us are. Now, the process of the clay is ongoing, and it's never easy for the clay, any part of the steps. But if we submit to the potter and trust that we'll be used for the glory of God, he can mold us into something wonderful and pleasing for himself. Now, normally when we go through things in life, we're going to feel uncomfortable. We're going to feel that maybe that scripture wasn't for me, or no, that's not talking about me because I do things differently. And a lot of times we're afraid to move on through the process, or we question God and wondering, like, why am I going through this? Why? It feels bad. I don't want to have to do that. I don't think it's necessary to do that. So why is God asking me to do things? Why do I have this burning in my heart to tell somebody something when God knows I don't like talking to people I don't know. God knows I don't want to go to that person. They've been mean to me, or they've been horrible to me at work. I can't get my job, and God wants me to be nice to them, to tell them about Jesus, to not have to slander them or be rough with them when you see them. And God is, at that moment, God is kneading the clay. He's putting moisture. He's putting the water of life inside you and mushing you to get you to be that vessel to pour out on other people. And if all of this comes down to one basic thought, because if you can trust the process and understand, if you submit to the king and submit to the process, that this and this are the same thing. Only thing difference is the process and time and love that's put into it. We may feel like this, and sometimes we are this. This is us. But if you give God enough time and give him to submit to him and allow God to take that scripture, wash your mind, renew your brain, and say, okay, God, I'm ready for whatever you have for me. Let's give this a shot. You're going to start seeing this form a little more each day and get ready. Because being molded leads to being purified. So when we see Israel, and Haley, if you wouldn't mind coming up, we're seeing Israel had become hard and unusable clay to the point where God couldn't do anything with them. It looked like this had been left in the sun for 3 days and it was breaking off and unused. But the thing was, God was willing to go back and do the work from bringing the dried up, crumbly clay back to life if they only trusted him and did what was right. And it can be done. If this dries up, what has to be done is you have to break it down to almost a powder. You have to break it at every spot it's at, and you're going to soak it in water. Now, if you just throw a clump of dry clay in the water, you're just sitting in the water. There's nothing happening there. There has to be a breaking and a kneading, a soaking in God's presence, a soaking in the water to slowly break away and soften up your heart to be able to be used. It's a long process. Okay, and God will miraculously be able to form you back to where he can start molding you again. So you just have to be able to take that first step to be able to do that. Now, throughout the whole process, we know that God pulls us from the ground, and he's going to knead us, clean us, get us ready for service. He starts to mold it to see what we like, what he likes and what he sees. And if there's anything that kind of goes awkward, like some of the pot goes this way or has a bulge in this way. As long as the clay is pliable, he can start over. He can fix some things. He can bring us back down to basics and bring us back up again. Because through the process, although it might not be comfortable to be plied and kneaded, but if you're being plied and kneaded, the exciting thing is this is around the corner. Because once you're a vessel, because you have to be strong enough to hold the fire and the trials that God has for you. And if you can make it through the trials, you're ready for service. You're ready to be filled with something it was made for. A vessel is only as good as what it's going to hold. So if it's made without crack, without blemish, and it is strong, God wants to fill it as quick as he can. And the reason he's going to fill you with water is that he can be able to pour you out on the next bottle of clay that for your life or for someone else to start being molded. That way the process can continue and the jars of clay can be filled. And over again, you see God's goodness and mercy flowing through all these jars, pouring out on other lumps of clay. So I ask you, where are you along in the process? Are you feeling dry and unusable? Or maybe you're feeling like a muddy lump of mess. Some of those too much water, not enough action. You're soaking, you're pouring more water on, but you're not letting God change you. If you pour enough water on this, you're gonna be a lumpy, muddy mess of nothingness. And maybe that's how you feel there. Maybe you're unsure or you don't like the vessel God's creating you to be. Or you're talking with God, trying to sway him to be a certain vessel that you think you should be. But if we choose not to resist the potter and the potter's hand, he can make us into what he needs, which is the clear thing we need to do. Now, there's two things that is important about the clay. There's the kneading process, and then there's the trial by fire process. And two major stories that come to mind is through trials comes the filling of the Spirit, the embodiment of power, and the mission for you to take on. See, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And after he went 40 days without eating, without drinking, and he was tempted by the enemy, he was able to be filled 100%, ready to go, and he started his ministry right after that. As soon as the Holy Spirit came upon him, he went through a trial. And when he was done with that trial, he was ready to go for his ministry. In the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were tested in their faith in God by putting them into the fire. You couldn't get more real than putting the pot in the fire as their story there. And when they went in, they went complete faith in God. And it doesn't matter what happens to us, God still reigns. But if he chooses to save us, he chooses to save us. If he doesn't, we're going to go right to him, so we're not worried about it at all. And in that moment, the fire only gave them freedom. It didn't hurt them. They didn't even smell a smoke. They walked out, and the ropes and everything that bound them were completely off, and they walked out free people. Not only free people, but freed up the entire country to be able to worship God in that moment. God was able to do a trial to set someone free and use the vessel and fill them with power. Maybe you stand to your feet with me. Nevertheless, whatever part of the process that you are in, the key thing to know is that you're on the potter's table. Because if you're still in the ground, you're not doing anything. But if you allow the potter to pull you out and stick you on the table to begin with, then you know the process has begun. The vessel is in sight, and what he wants to fill you with, he's already decided. He just needs to begin the process. If you're stuck, if you're willing to submit to the potter and allow God to restore you from the point where you can be used, the next step is just allowing God to move. A submitting to God, restoring of your mind. And we hear those words all the time, and it simply comes to this. Spending time with God is soaking in the water to be pliable by the potter. And being formed into a vessel that you're able to be used is God being able ready to fill you with the power to pour out on other people. So if you're willing, if you're ready to get out of where you're at, maybe you're stuck in the ground. Maybe you're like, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know anything about this. Ask God to be able to pull you from where you're at. Say, set me on the table, God. I'm ready to start. Start the process. Start to form me in that moment. And then maybe you've been soaking in God's presence, but you haven't acted. You maybe not have. You start applying some of the things God wants you in your life to be able to break off those shackles and to free yourself up. Say, okay, God, I've got enough water. I'm ready to be formed. I'm going to start putting to work what you started to teach me. And then maybe you're scared to go into the fire, because once you go in the fire, you are changed. This is no longer pliable. This is going to be rock hard, steady, ready for service after it goes through the fire. And say, God, if I take that step, I'm going to be, I know I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be different. Things are not going to be the same as I used to. But know that being used by God and filled with power is much better than being a lumpy clay that's not doing anything. So if you'll raise your hands with me, we'll pray together and ask God to take us to the next step in the process. Father God, thank you so much for never giving up on us. It rings in my head every time I read the story of Jeremiah. That, Lord, no matter where everyone is at, no matter what process they're going through, Lord, I hope that they understand, Lord, that you are there and you are the hands that are firmly gripping them. The pressure they feel, God, is not fear or anxiety, God. It's the fact that you're forming them into what you need them to be. That they can be ready for service. They can be a vessel that needs to be used, Father God, and we ask God to fill us. Fill us, Lord, with your power. Mold us into what you want us to be, and use us for anything for your kingdom, Father God.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe and share it with a friend. For more information about who we are, visit RiversideChurchTX.com.